Hello there, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Groover coming to you again with another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 declares, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And king, as there is power, who may say unto him, What doest thou?" This is Brother Timothy Groover here, and this edition of the Word of the King coming to you again from here in Israel, Tel Aviv. I do thank you again for your prayers, and right now I'm going through some major spiritual warfare, and right now I just really need your prayers. God knows I gave up a job a number of years ago when I was delivering mail for the IRS here, because again, the manager, she was so corrupt, she was so crooked. Based on the way she was talking, I'm pretty much pretty sure she herself was going the sodomite lesbian way, and of course had us at the time defrauding our employer in a way we were not aware of, and I turned her rear end in before I walked away from that, because again, I just could not do what I was doing with a clean conscience, knowing that she had us doing what we were doing. And I still remember how God spoke to me from his word out of that book of 1 Samuel, where he says, "I will honor them that honor me." And Lord himself made it clear, you must choose. Will you honor me, or will you honor your wallet? If you honor me above your wallet, and if you trust me more than you trust what money you put in your wallet, well, then I'll be faithful to honor you. And ultimately, he's taking care of me, and he's going to continue to take care of me as I'm here, and I'm trusting him. He's going to open up this door permanently for me. If you pray and you agree with me in prayer, I'm a firm believer that he'll do just that even before the end of this year. Would you agree with me in prayer on that, dear listener, whoever you are listening? That God would open up the permanent door for me here in the land of Israel before the end of this year. Now, I would just remind you, if you have any questions or comments concerning anything you hear on this edition of the Word of the King, you can forward those to me via email at thewordoftheking. That's thewordoftheking, A as in Adam, V as in Victor, 1611 at hotmail.com. That's thewordoftheking, AV 1611 at hotmail.com. And there's the website that we have, Holiness Bibles for the Blind. I encourage you to go check out, where you can also make donations to the ministry via the website there, www.holiness, H-O-L, Y as in year, N-E-S-S, Bibles, for, F-O-R, the blind, .org. And also, I would encourage you to check out the website of Brother John McTernan at www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. The Lord was just showing me some more earlier today about this whole matter of counterfeit Bible and counterfeit fulfillment of Scripture, and also how this Star of David is going to play a role in that counterfeit fulfillment of Scripture. Their counterfeit one world Antichrist, counterfeit Bible, that counterfeit of the pure word of the living God. And of course, we know the devil has more than one of his counterfeits out there. David Daniel's two publications did a good book exposing one of those counterfeits. New King James, The Bridge Bible is the title of it. New King James, The Bridge Bible, A Path from Faith to Doubt by David W. Daniels. And Lord willing, in a future edition of The Word of the King, I'll be getting into that a little bit more. And I'll just go ahead even now real quickly. King James Bible, just an updated King James. It promised to be a fifth edition of the King James Version, preserving the originally intended meaning of every verse. Did they keep their promise? Is it the same as salvation is changed from a finished work to an unfinished process? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Can you know you are saved? That tiny change and other tiny changes like it have made a big difference, moving people from faith to doubt in God and His words. I'm not saying what could happen. I'm showing you what did happen. David W. Daniels declares, as you'll see in this book, the New King James is not an updated King James at all. The publishers said it themselves. It was designed as a transitional bridge. Notice those words, transitional bridge. To lead the reader to the modern Bible versions based on fake manuscripts. It is really part of the plan for everyone to accept one world Bible for the Antichrist coming one world religion. How do we counter this? By teaching our children how to read the clear words of the King James, we can bring faith and not doubt to the next generation. In fact, as you will see, if previous generations had done this, the New King James would never have been made. And again, Lord willing, we will get into more of this book by David Daniels in a future edition of The Word of the King. But again, in the meantime, you can purchase this and many other good resources at www.chick.com. And also, I would encourage you to check out Dave Hodges' website at www.thecommonsenseshow.com. That's www.thecommonsenseshow.com. Yeah, right now we're really going through some tough times here, I know. Be in prayer. I almost went off in a prayer to the Father right there, alone as it was, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyhow, Mom, Dad, if you're listening to this, you know what it's all about. But anyhow, continuing on again, make sure you check out Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. That's The Common Sense, S-E-N-S-E, show.com. And also, I'm going to encourage you to check out Doug Thornton, Doug, T-H-O-R-N, as in Nathan, T-O-N, as in Nathan, Doug Thornton, American Vindicta, V-I-N-D-I-C, as in Cat, T as in Tom, A, American Vindicta. If you just put that in your search engine and click on that, that should pull up his blog at AmericanVindictaShow.com. And also, Doug's audio is at GSRadio.net. And also, I would encourage you to listen to contendingfortruth.com. That's www.contendingfortruth.com. And then there's Mike Adams at www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. And finally, if you would like to send a check, you can just write that out to my Father After the Flesh, Joel, J-O-E-L. That's J, like the prophet Joel, J-O-E-L, Gruver, G-R-U-V, as in E-R. And you can also then send that off to 2976 Honey Valley Road. That's 2976 Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y, Road, Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 17313. And again, Mom and Dad, thank you. I love you. Could you please be in prayer? Dear listeners, for my parents, Judy and Joel Groovers, you pray for me and the rest of my family. Thank you. And now, Brother Kenny, I will give it off to you so you can tell our listeners how they can work here at the Word of the King, as well as Sowing the Seed Ministries and Holiest Bibles for the Blind, and also how they can contribute through Six Eyes Radio. And then after that, I'll open us up in a word of prayer. But, Kenny, if you would now share that.
All right. if you'd like to make a donation to Brother Tim via his PayPal and through the Holiness Bibles for the Blind, you can do that by going to Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Click Sow the Seed Ministries, and when you're there, go down to where you see the Love Offerings link. Click that, and you will be able to make your donation to him. Also, if you just have a PayPal account, the easiest way is type in the email address, comfortforisrael@gmail.com. If that is the correct email address, correct, Tim?
For the donations via the ministry there, as we have it on the website, I believe you said that both of those donations, yes, they went to the comfortforisrael@gmail.com.
Yes, because it's right there. Also, if you look on the six eyes here, you'll see on the description, that's exactly how it is, comfortforisrael@gmail.com. I verified that. And so if you wish to make a donation, you can do that directly by typing in at paypal.com, comfortforisrael@gmail.com. And you just enter the amount of your love gift. And Brother Timothy will be great for any donation you send, great or small. And God will richly bless you. If you go to the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website also, and you would like to send a donation using your check or your credit card or your PayPal account, you could do that also right there on the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website, going straight to the bottom of the homepage and clicking the Love Offerings link right there, and you'll be able to use your credit card or PayPal account. You can also send a check to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box. And you send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. Again, make any check or money order payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. Now, if you wish to send a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network, you have two options. The PayPal, which you enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, you go to Cash App, enter $I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift and the Six Eyes Radio Network thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Amen.
Okay, on that note, I will now open us up in a word of prayer, and then, Brother Kenny, after I'm done praying, you can start off with the first clip, and I'm pretty sure that our first clip, dear listeners, you're going to hear it. It's going to be Tucker Carlson, right, Kenny? Or is it Dave Hodges, the first clip? Kenny will start the first clip here. It's either Tucker Carlson or Dave Hodges. So let me just go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and then he'll start it. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, dear Lord God, again now for this time, as we will now get into the Scriptures some more and proclaim once again the blessed gospel of you, the living God. And as we listen to these clips, dear God, and we consider the things going on, dear God, in our world, Lord, help us, dear God, to be informed, Lord, to be informed and aware of what is going on around us, and yet at the same time, not get entangled with the affairs of this world either. You say, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Help us not to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and yet again, Lord, not get entangled by the affairs of this world at the same time. And may we all the more increase in our knowledge of you, Lord, each and every day, and in our love for one another. Grant me the demonstration and the power of your spirit, dear God, for this yet another edition of the Word of the King. I pray for all souls listening, saved and unsaved alike, for the saved to be all the more provoked to holiness, to be purged of the leaven of hypocrisy, that leaven of the Pharisees, that we would not walk as hypocrites, but would walk in holiness before you. And also, Lord God, for those not saved, for those who have yet to be quickened from the deadness of trespasses and sins, for those yet walking in darkness, blinded by the God of this world, that crooked serpent, the devil, if you would, oh Lord, for your good pleasure, for your name's sake, deliver them, Lord God, save their soul, even as you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. And take your words as they will now hear them in this edition of the Word of the King, and all the more, make them alive by the power of your spirit, through the power of the preaching of the gospel, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, pray and give thanks. Okay, Kenny, go with our first clip, please.
All right, here it is.
Hey, we are being beta tested, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean that in all sincerity. The beta test is taking the form of they're trying to stretch the law on us to see how we'll respond. We're going to talk about this, compare it to beta tests that have happened before, and then we're going to have to decide how we're going to respond to it. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we ask you to do a couple of things when you come here. Number one, would you please, absolutely, we're asking you to share this work because we need to put people on the street protesting peacefully, of course, but we need to overwhelm the other side with our numbers, and we can do it. We've got them on the run in Maui. We can do it in all across this country, but we need your help because some people think they can be lazy and just sit this out. We're not going to let them. Also, too, please subscribe because that increases our reach. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. Noble Gold is the best there is at protecting your assets. Why would you want to earn all this money, work all this hard, put it in your bank, put it in your retirement, and all of a sudden they wake up one day and they say, yeah, we've had to take it. Dodd-Frank Law of 2014 or 2010 says they can do this. And I say, oh, no, we're not going to let them because Noble Gold is going to take your retirement away from your bank. They're going to put it under your control, and they're going to back it with gold. That's right. That's exactly what they're going to do, and they can do similar things for your bank account. Do not let these thieves take your money. You now owe it to yourself to look into it. I want to send you a free information packet. All you have to do is go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll rush you out an information packet. You'll see the number on there to call Noble Gold. By the way, I am a customer of Noble Gold, so when I say this to you, the FTC wants me to tell you that investments carry a risk and there's no guarantee. I agree. The real risk, though, is leaving your money in the bank. That's the biggest gamble, and this is why I'm a customer of Noble Gold. So DaveHodgesGold.com, 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Oh, I didn't even mention this here. Converting a retirement account, you'll get one of these huge, beautiful, 5-ounce America the Beautiful silver coins. Love them. Absolutely love it. It's on my display case. I just take it down to show you. Hey, we have a testing going on right now. It's we have a national test going on October 4th. But our resolve against unconstitutional usurpation, takeover of our rights is underway right now. Maui has been going on now for 5 weeks, and we have exposed about every angle there is to expose on this, although I'm sure there's more that will surface. But what just happened in New Mexico with Governor Karen, and that's what we're going to call her, the New Mexico governor's name now is Governor Karen, who just said, I don't care what the Constitution says, screw you. If someone gets murdered, I'll just make that up as an excuse to take away your rights to bear arms. They're afraid that we will have guns because that might keep some bad people from doing bad things to us. Not that anybody wants to use their guns against anybody. We're not saying that. But in case people were to come after us, you have the right to self-defense. That's why we have the Second Amendment. That's why it was written in by the Founding Fathers. So what we need to be doing here, and I hope you hear this very, very, very clearly, very clearly, we're not going to acquiesce. In Maui, they think they can just steal property. The governor just thinks, oh, we had a natural disaster. How convenient. We can rezone that land. Get the hell out of here. You're going to the Big Island and shitty land, and you're not going to get anything. We'll pay you pennies on the dollar. Developers will come in, and they're going to swoop up the land. And that's what they plan to do. But we are opposing them, and they're having problems. They're having problems. They're testing us. If they take this land in Maui, they'll take your land wherever they want it. If they'll abuse these people in Maui, they'll abuse you. If you let Grisham get away with taking your guns, not letting you carry them, CCW be damned. She'll do it. He'll do it. They'll do it. They'll all do it everywhere. Everywhere. And why do they want our guns so damn bad? It's a good question, isn't it? So anyway, let me pose this to you. Grisham got defeated. The outrage was significant. Even Democrats stood up to this tyrant. But you know what? She's not smart. You hear her talk? Stumbling, bumbling, mumbling. I mean, her and Josh Green, I think, went to the same school of vocabulary. Reality is this. The reality is this. They're not that bright. That's why they're used. They're convenient stooges and fools that will do what the globalists tell them. But the reality is they can't even defend their arguments. Do you hear her? Well, if I see something wrong, I got to correct it. Oh, excuse me, 250 years of Constitution, you're going to correct that on your own volition? How arrogant are you? And really, how stupid you are that you can't even defend it. It's unbelievable. In fact, when people are killed in the streets, oh, by the way, the murder rate in New Mexico is up 70%. Oh, gee, what else do they have common in New Mexico? Open borders? That's one. Two, defund the police? That's why you have an increase in murder rate. That's the real issue. She can't defend about it. She won't talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to meet these beta tests where they're coming, where they occur. We did not do a good job with essential versus non-essential businesses during the lockdown. That was a pile of crap. We can never let that happen again. And I'm glad to see the people rising up against Grisham. The next target is Newsom because he's trying to tax people out of gun ownership and buying ammunition. So that'll be the next target we have to go over. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
And that was Dave Hodges there, one of his reports. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, coming to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Verity, another word for truth. Verse 8, 1 Timothy 2. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, down through verse 11. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Revelation 21, verse 8 declares, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One lie is all it takes to make you a liar and worthy of a lake of fire before the living God for all of eternity. Proverbs 16, verse 4 tells us, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Behold, is the day of salvation. Now, earlier, if you please pray for this one friend of mine, Jose Ramirez. This Jose Ramirez, I met not long ago here in Israel, and he was actually thinking that he himself had already been saved. But after having a conversation with him earlier today, it became kind of evident that he, and not yet truly repentant toward God with what the scriptures call a godly sorrow, the work of repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Before all was said and done, I left him with a individual you would know as Jonathan Edwards in that message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. If you would pray for Jose Ramirez and that he would, if he is not already, that he would experience before even the end of this day, certainly before he leaves Israel, that godly sorrow that works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. If you ever hear anybody, I don't care who he is, if you ever hear anybody, especially some pastor, some minister, say, I believe in easy believism, a red light ought to go on in you, because ultimately, surely as Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. There is no such thing as easy believism. If the Father doesn't draw you, you cannot come. You cannot believe if the Father does not draw you. There is no such thing as easy believism. And you, in and of yourself, cannot just choose to work up some godly sorrow, the work of repentance to salvation, not to be repented of when there is nothing godly in your flesh, your human nature, nothing good in it. You and I need the grace of God, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man suppose, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is church to you? Is it about worshiping the Most High God, or is it just some social club? All right, Brother Kenny, if you would go on with the next clip, please.
My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America and hopefully a good portion of the world, one enslaved mind at a time, but we need you to make it multiple enslaved minds at a time. The way we do that's twofold. Number one, subscribe. It increases our reach, increases our algorithm. It brings us to more people. But number two, you need to bring them our work. You need to let them see your comments, my videos, our content, our country, our world at stake, and we need to push back against this global tyranny. So please, do those two things. We are brought to you by Noble Gold. Time is ticking on the dollar. You need to get your money away from the bank as much as you can, your retirement completely away from the bank, backed by gold that you control. I can send you a free information packet on how it's done. And before you say, whoa, wait a minute, I've been a customer for 5 years of Noble Gold, been an advertiser for 6, and I'm getting ready to do another foray because things have changed and I need to adjust. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we are really running out of time, and I'm being as serious as a heart attack. You leave that money in the bank, and we cross certain thresholds like CBDC, 15-minute cities, smart cities, it's over. It's over. No more resistance. So please, let me send you that packet. No obligation. No one will bug you. DaveHodgesGold.com. Or if you feel the urgency that I do, call Noble Gold immediately. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Now, the federal government would have me tell you, this could carry a risk because it's technically classified as an investment. I don't really look at it that way because you're taking control of your IRA, but nonetheless, or your 401k or your retirement in general. But we're going to placate the government and give a sincere warning. Okay, so you've been warned. And I'll tell you this, the warning we should be giving out is beware of the banks and the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 that allows them to steal your money just because they need it. You're an unsecured creditor, so please keep that in mind. 877-646-5347. All right, I have a request. You don't like doing this. No American likes doing this. Find my congressman. Put that in there. Or even if you have an electronic device, ask it. Hey, I don't want to say it because my phone will turn on. But nonetheless, what I want you to do right now, ladies and gentlemen, is this. When we're done, go look up your congressperson's name and send them a message. Remove Kevin McCarthy or we will target you in the primary. And Kevin McCarthy must go. He absolutely must hit the road. He's slow walking the impeachment process, but that's not the major reason why. I mean, we have to have an impeachment inquiry to find out what we already know from James Comer and the House Oversight Committee. Can you please explain why we're repeating our steps? because McCarthy is one of them. He's a rhino, uniparty, sellout to the globalists. He's a friend of China. He is not on your side, and we need to get him out of there. And here's the major reason why we need to get him out of there. If you haven't seen this, you need to go on our live stream application, and you need to see what I presented this morning about our taxes. What's going to happen with our $5 trillion tax increase? It will crush the living hell out of this country. We will not recover economically. You will not have small business. It will cease to exist. Independent people working for yourself, not a corporation, not a C corporation, all million of you, done. You're finished. Why? Oh, excuse me. You didn't see this. Your tax rate's going up 33% in that business category. They want you gone. They want no competition for the box stores. It was the same thing we saw essential, non-essential in the lockdown. You're essential. Well, wait a minute. Why can't I stay open? You call me non-essential, but I sell the same things as the essentials. Doesn't matter. You don't have their volume. We declare you to be obsolete to the junk heap of history with you, and 58% of small businesses failed. They're at it again, and they're using taxes to do it, and they're using taxes to crush you. We have 65% of America living paycheck to paycheck. It's estimated 3 out of 4 Americans will collapse under the weight of this taxation system. Kevin McCarthy is going to strike a deal with Biden unless we stop him. We need to have a government shutdown. Read my lips. I'm in favor of a government shutdown if we can't stop these taxes from going through. We're already getting crushed by inflation that's being underreported. We're being crushed by having no access to our own energy, and we're paying through the nose for this, and it's killing our economy. It's killing our future. It's compromising our national defense. So I'm asking you right now, please take the time and do one thing. Get a hold of your congressman that says your reelection depends on you getting Kevin McCarthy out. And then you need to give it to 10 other people. Hey, listen to me. For a lot of you, are you hearing me? You people on fixed income? You people who don't have the opportunity now to build another career and make more money on a different track? You want to hear me really clearly? You need to do this. This is for you. You're not doing it for your country. You're doing it for your survival. The only people that aren't going to be affected by this are about the upper 5%. Oh, surprise, surprise. Please, an impassioned plea, do one thing. You're a congressman. And then if you're really dedicated, you'll just copy and paste the same thing and send it again the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day until it's over. And you keep encouraging people to do it. There's two things I shouldn't let go of. Where are the children in Lahaina? Where are they at? Why don't we have an accounting for them? And then number two, holding McCarthy accountable. Today he dared the Freedom Caucus. I dare you to try to remove me as speaker, arrogant bastard. By the way, when McConnell and Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC, pulled funding from 8 senatorial races in the 2022 midterm and 6 of them lost, where all 8 of them could have easily won, McCarthy sat on his hands and did nothing because he was on board with it. He is an anti-America first person. He's an anti-Trump person. And right now he kind of walks the both sides of the same street because he's a liar. He's a con artist. He should never have been elected. I was so happy when they voted him down 14 times. They need to vote him out. Ladies and gentlemen, end of begging, but I'm going to mention it once a day. Have you contacted your congressperson, and have you told them, if McCarthy's in, if he stays as speaker, you are out in the primary. We will campaign against you, against Joe the plumber. Throw a dart at the phone book and run that guy against your congressman right now. We could not do any worse than we're doing. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure you're a member of what we do really well. In-depth documentaries in uncharted waters that we're in now, telling you how to cope for these experts. Commercial-free, censorship-free, 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms. Sign up today. Get prepared, and we have a forum to help you do that, thecommonsenseshow.tv.
is written, Gospel Matthew, chapter 18, starting in verse 1 down through verse 14. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And I'm reminded, dear listener, of one of the Ten Commandments, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust adultery with her already in his heart, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. You're going to try to tell me that you don't need the blood of Jesus Christ to atone for your soul and be in prayer again for souls here in Israel as we are coming up on another Yom Kippur? And again, all Jews, even some of the most secular, are once again thinking about that matter of sin before the Holy One of Israel and help. Pray that the Lord helps them do all the more. See, and help me in your prayers, and pray, let's pray that the Lord helps them to all the more see their need for the shed blood of that Holy One, the Messiah himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his blood is sufficient to cleanse Jew and Gentile alike of all sin, making them whiter than snow. As it is written, 1 John 1:7, If we walk in the light as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, venial, mortal, all sin. There is no purgatory. Roman Catholic, there's no such thing. The place doesn't exist. There's no need for it. It's heaven or hell when you die. And praise God by his grace. I know that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Can you say that from your heart and mean it, dear listener? If not, I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. I pray that God would grant it unto you to come unto Jesus, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 10 of Luke 18, continuing down again through verse 14. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have it, and one of them be gone astray, doeth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Isaiah 53:6 says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 13 and 14 of Matthew 18. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And later on for the invitation song, dear listener, we're going to have a song. And the title of that song? I believe it is. The one of the 99, the one 99, basically it's based off this very text right here. The invitation songs we're going to hear a little bit later. Again, verse 12 of Matthew 18. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? The one and the 99, I believe, is the exact title. The one and the 99 is the exact title there. All right, Kenny, if you play our next clip, please.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to talk about a number of things right here, downsizing the federal government. I may shock you with what I'm going to say. Also, we're going to be talking about Bill Gates and his latest endeavor. It's like one a day. Yesterday it was $10 million to fund National ID, and we went through all that. And we're going to talk about him and what he's now funding. Oh, my gosh, you're not going to believe this. But also, too, JCPA is back, the Journalism Competition and Protection Act. You may be saying goodbye to me before much longer, much sooner than we thought. Hey, we're brought to you by Ageless Multicollagen. This is one of our most popular products because it puts lost collagen back in your system, and it's the only proprietary product that does this. Proprietary is a key term. And what they do there is they take five types of collagen, blend it into one, it crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it begins to restore lost collagen. So you start to look younger, your muscles don't hurt like they did, your skin's not as leathery, your hair's not falling out like it was. It's like your own Ponce de Leon Fountain of Youth. 60-day money-back guarantee, so they guarantee the product. 53% off and all other kinds of benefits. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. All right, let's start with the federal government, shall we? The IRS needs to go. Lock, stock, and barrel. The whole organization, this isn't out of anger. This is out of practicality and what we should be doing. You know, a bunch of millionaires signed a pledge last year saying, we need to be taxed more. That had to be the biggest load of misdirection and BS I've ever seen, because they can raise the taxes across the board and really hit the rich hard. Their money just goes overseas or goes into a trust fund or a non-taxable entity. They would never pay another dime in tax. In fact, they'd probably pay less. Why else would they sign it? Ladies and gentlemen, the IRS needs to go, and here's why it needs to go. We should be paying a flat tax. Every American, regardless of income, should be paying 10%. Doesn't have to be 15 or 20. Make the government live within its means. 10% flat tax. Do you know who pays the tax now? Poor don't pay the tax. They're tax exempt. They shouldn't be. You make a dollar, you pay a dime. The rich have tax dodge schemes because of deductions. No deductions. 10% flat tax. And that way the IRS can go away. The government, the Department of Treasury can just process the payments. And that would be the end of it. Automatic deduction from your paycheck. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business person, well, then obviously you'd have to pay. But this is the way that it should be. The IRS flat tax. FEMA. What good are they? Well, let's see. They know how to go on vacation really well. They go on vacation in Maui. What a great place to go. Hang out at the beach, drink some beer, stay at luxury resorts. And block the food and medicine shipments to the people in Lahaina, as reports said repeatedly after the crisis started. FEMA, what did they do at Burning Man? Oh, my gosh, what a clown show. They came in. Oh, they were there to save the day. Did they fly in with helicopters and drop food? Did they ask for signs from people on the ground that needed medical attention? No. What did they do? They locked the gates. They locked the people in, and then they went home. FEMA, so wonderful. Get rid of the agency. They are not good for anything. Disband them and get rid of it and save the money. So there we've totally eliminated two federal agencies. Okay, third on my list is the FBI. You know, I know what you're thinking, okay? Listen. Most FBI agents, I went to college, a gal that became an FBI agent, did really well for herself. She was a wonderful person. I've interviewed John Guandolo. I think he's a great, great guy. He was with the FBI for a while. And John, tremendous agent. And I've talked to other tremendous agents. But, and he said this, John said this on my show 3 years ago. John said, and I quote, anybody GS-15 and above needs to be gone. John, I think we could just get rid of the whole organization. Law enforcement can be statewide. You commit the crime, except maybe for the D.C. police, but you commit the crime in Maryland, you go to Maryland court. Kidnapping could be a state charge. Doesn't have to be federal. cross state lines. Now you got two states involved. Uh-huh. Why do you need the FBI? Why? To kick in the doors of school board protesters? To harass people that would dare express an opinion about abortion and never interfere with an abortion or damage an abortion clinic? And by the way, people who vandalize it, they deserve to go to jail. I totally agree with that. Not for 20 years. Ladies and gentlemen, the FBI, we don't need them. We could save a lot of money. The DOJ, this is where John Guandolo's advice is really good. Everyone from GS-15 and above, gone, especially Merrick Garland. Save a lot of money, and they would have to sign a pledge not to make partisan rulings. They would have to reemphasize their pledge on no conflicts of interest, Merrick Garland, and running interference, should I say, for Panorama Education, son-in-law, daughter, ring a bell, Garland. Get rid of them, okay? The CIA, we need to do what John Kennedy wanted to do before he was murdered. He said, I'm going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. Fortunately, he never got to complete the task. I agree. The CIA needs to be gone. Now, are there good men and women that work in the CIA? Yeah, there's two CIAs. There's the part that does their job, and there's the part that, well, they make Tony Soprano look honest. So they need to be gone, and we need to restart that organization from ground up. Bottom line, with tremendous oversight. None of this need to know, can't tell the president. That's what they've done. No. So these four agencies need to be gone. Two of them, IRS and FEMA. I would argue the FBI, and then certainly the entire CIA. Save a lot of money. All right, one other thing I wanted to bring up here, did you see, well, yesterday, Bill Gates gave $10 million to fund digital ID. You shall take the mark in the forehead or the, okay. It's getting beastie out there, isn't it? I wonder if the Beastie Boys would give him a place in their band. Mark of the Beastie Boys. Anyway, Bill Gates is bailing out with a $95 million donation. Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light. The American people may not want you, but I do. And I'll buy all your beer. Good, because no one else is drinking it. Who are you going to give it to? Thirsty people on the Sahara. Well, at least they won't know what they're dying from. And then the Journalism Competition and Protection Act. Essentially, it will license journalists. Can you believe this? I won't go along with it. And I'll broadcast till they carry me out of here. The second thing that they want to do is to basically let the big guys eat the small guys. And they have all kinds of mergers can happen, don't need a congressional approval. You can form one big monopoly, and pretty soon we could have the United States media monopoly in the memory of John D. Rockefeller. What do you think about that? They don't want people like me telling you the truth. And they don't want people like you giving me good information and tips for me to follow up on so I can come back and tell you what I found out, your revelation and the truth. They don't want that. They want to operate in the criminal darkness. They don't want any eyes upon them. And this is why they do the JCPA Act. And there's some traitors in there. Ted Cruz has waffled. He's been on both sides of the issue. Don't trust him any farther than you can throw them. Anyway, I thought you should know. That's my plan to defund the government in large part. Anyone over a GS-15 in the other agency needs to be gone, and that includes the EPA. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's my my plan. Those four agencies gone. Hats off to Bill Gates. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be a good time at the Gates Mansion, isn't it? Where do you want the beer, Mr. Gates? Well, we might be able to build a house out of it over there. And then, of course, we've got the JCPA taking yours truly out of business if it passes. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Don't forget to check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
And again, dear listener, if you would just be in prayer for Dave Hodges and his family, pray God's blessing there on them and his protection about them, along with Doug Thornton and his family, Brother Jonathan and his family, myself, my family, Kenny Ruth, their families, and the families of everyone else here, Six Eyes Radio. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, starting in verse 1 down through verse 23. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they, Pharisees and the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And let me just interject real quick, listener, and just make one comment in light of what you just heard there from Dave Hodges. He mentioned the IRS. I forwarded something to a number of individuals, including some pastors, recently, not too long ago, within the last week, about how they're also trying to push through Senate and Congress this H.R. 15 equality bill. Equality bill. Don't they make that sound so nice, equality? But, of course, as you may have already guessed and maybe are already aware, it has everything to do with the LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, gender, queer agenda, the sodomite agenda there, ultimately. God makes it very clear, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, going after fornication, strange flesh, giving themselves over to fornication, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The H.R. 15 Equality Bill is all about that LGBTQ agenda, and it's all about them trying to force that, not just on Christian schools, but surely they're going to try to enforce that on Christian schools. You don't think they're going to try to enforce it on even Bible-believing churches? You better bet they're going to try to do that. So I'd be praying against that, dear listener, if I were you, that whole H.R. 15 equality bill. But again, that's where the whole thing with IRS, the whole 501c3 taxes, that status comes into play and how they use that and have used that to control and manipulate pastors, elders, churches with their tax-exempt benefit. And my advice to any and all pastors listening to this, along with any elders of such churches, you should, as it were, kiss your 501c3 tax-exempt status goodbye. Because before too long, barring a miracle from the Lord, barring an outpouring of the Spirit, whereby God prevents this spirit of Antichrist from continuing to come in like a flood with this LGBTQ agenda and this socialist communist agenda, you are going to have to choose between your 501c3 tax-exempt status and whether you're going to be going and siding with that in the government, or you're going to be faithful to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the triune Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Who are you going to be faithful to, dear listener? Who are you going to be faithful to in the end? Ultimately, you're going to answer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So you need to fear him above all. But continuing on here, Mark 7, verse 4, down through verse 20. And when they come from the market, Jesus again, verse 3, he said, "But the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, and brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?' He answered and said unto them, 'Woe hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people draw honor to me. This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Mark 7, verse 6, he answered and said unto them, "Woe hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Verse 8, "For the laying aside the commandment of God, behold, the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "For you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition." And let me just interject and ask one more time, dear listener, what is Christianity? What is church all about to you? Is it about knowing the one true God, your creator of spirit and truth, worshiping him in spirit and truth? Or is it all about a social club? Is it all about just making more friends here on earth? Is it really about making friends with the eternal God of heaven and earth? Because that's what real Christianity and real faith in Jesus Christ is about, first and foremost. It's about making friends with your creator, who himself said, greater love hath no man than this, than man laid down his life for his friends. Verse 10 of Mark 7, again down to verse 23. For Moses said, Jesus himself goes on here, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, that whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect in your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Let me ask you also to pray here, dear listener, because the Word of God does make it very clear. The Word of God talks about requiting your parents, and I have what I'll just refer to as real money in my mom and dad's safe, okay, where they live. And ultimately, I know from talking to them earlier, they do not believe that it's ultimately going to go up in price at all. But the plan, and quite frankly, I even sent my brother, Mike, if you pray for him, my brother Mike, my sister-in-law, Nee, pray for them for their salvation, for their spiritual blessing from the Lord. I even sent him a message, and I said to him, I thought that's why you yourself purchased precious metals like this in the first place. I thought that's why they purchased such things for us growing up, and still to this day, December or maybe for a birthday, they'll still purchase things like that. I thought that's why they did it, because, again, this was, did not have value as real money, but again, there was always the potential of it going up. I mean, did they just purchase it just so we could have it as souvenirs, basically, and just show off to everybody? That's not why I ever got any of it. I'm not about trying to show off. I'm not trying to put on a show or impress other people, get the praise of men. I'm about praising my God and Savior, and I'm about pleasing him above all. Now, not that I'll forsake pleasing anybody else, but I'll not please them in any way that means not pleasing him. But anyways, you just pray for my mom and dad, Judy and Joel, and the rest of my family, please. But anyways, I'm trying to quit, trying to honor them in that context. Surely as I'm convinced, and I'm still convinced, surely as the U.S. dollar is going to go down, real money is going to go up in value. Just got to be patient. You got to wait for it to do so. But anyhow, continuing on, verse 14, Mark 7, down to verse 23. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing cometh, enters into the man, it cannot defile him from without? Verse 18 again. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Never forget the sins of the heart, dear listener. Never forget the sins of the heart, because ultimately all sin, whether it can be seen by men or not, is seen by God, and it proceeds from the heart. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's why you and I, being sinners by nature and possessing such a heart, need a new heart and need to be made new creatures in Christ. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. For God hath made him, Christ Jesus, be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in. On that note, dear listener, let me just ask you, what are you willing to forsake for the Messiah of Israel, the Lord and Savior, God of heaven and earth? As he was manifested in the flesh as Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you willing to forsake for him? And Lord willing, I'll come back to that a little later. All right, Brother Kenny, for the next clip, please.
In this video, Tucker Carlson, the well-known host, delves deep into the intricacies of media honesty, the struggles faced by truth-tellers within the industry, and the unique role that certain social media platforms play in promoting free speech. As the video unfolds, Tucker Carlson takes center stage and, in his characteristic fashion, dives headfirst into a pressing concern, the state of media integrity. He fearlessly confronts the challenge that many in the industry face, the battle to maintain honesty and credibility amidst a landscape increasingly saturated with sensationalism. Tucker Carlson's words resonate as he highlights the high stakes involved in being a truth-teller within the media sphere. His message is clear. Those who dare to speak against the prevailing narratives often find themselves on the fringes, facing backlash and sometimes even termination. He underscores the profound impact media integrity has on the democratic principles our society holds dear. He raises questions about the very foundation of a functioning democracy when truth-tellers are silenced.
You often hear people say the news is full of lies, but most of the time that's not exactly right. Much of what you see on television or read the New York Times is in fact true in the literal sense. It could pass one of the media's own fact checks. Lawyers would be willing to sign off on it. In fact, they may have. But that doesn't make it true. It's not true. At the most basic level, the news you consume is a lie of the stealthiest and most insidious kind. Facts have been withheld on purpose, along with proportion and perspective. You are being manipulated. And that's what the news media are doing in every story that matters, every day of the week, every week of the year. What's it like to work in a system like that? After more than 30 years in the middle of it, we could tell you stories. The best you can hope for in the news business at this point is the freedom to tell the fullest truth that you can. But there are always limits. And you know that if you bump up against those limits often enough, you will be fired for it. That's not a guess. It's guaranteed. Every person who works in English language media understands that. The rule of what you can't say defines everything. It's filthy, really, and it's utterly corrupting. You can't have a free society if people aren't allowed to say what they think is true. Speech is the fundamental prerequisite for democracy. That's why it's enshrined in the first of our constitutional amendments. Amazingly, as of tonight, there aren't many platforms left that allow free speech. The last big one remaining in the world, the only one, is Twitter.
Carlson recognizes that while traditional media outlets may sometimes stifle dissenting voices, certain social media platforms have emerged as champions of free expression. They provide a haven for individuals whose perspectives may be deemed unpopular elsewhere. These platforms, like X and others, are playing a crucial role in ensuring that the marketplace of ideas remains open.
Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing. And yet, for the most part, the news that you see analyzed on Twitter comes from media organizations that are themselves thinly disguised propaganda outlets. You see it on cable news. You talk about it on Twitter. The result may feel like a debate, but actually the gatekeepers are still in charge. We think that's a bad system. We know exactly how it works, and we're sick of it. Starting soon, we'll be bringing a new version of the show we've been doing for the last 6.5 years to Twitter. We bring some other things, too, which we'll tell you about. But for now, we're just grateful to be here. Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others.
He serves as a compelling reminder of the multifaceted challenges faced by truth-tellers in the media industry and the dynamic evolution of social media platforms in the realm of free speech. It prompts a necessary conversation about the very fabric of our media landscape, urging us to consider the importance of preserving honest reporting and open dialogue in our ever-changing society. In closing, Tucker Carlson's video calls upon us to reevaluate our commitment to media integrity and free speech. It challenges us to reflect on the power of truth in our society and the vital role that both traditional media and emerging digital platforms play in shaping our collective future.
Okay, and on that note, I would read from Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16 down through the end of the chapter, verse 30. And if I were to title this message, I would title this message, "What Are You Willing to Forsake for the Savior?" Are you willing to forsake for the Savior? Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, down through the end of the chapter, verse 30. From the word of the King in the English language, the King James Authorized Version of 1611, and I read, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Revelation 20, verses 14 to 15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Do you know for sure that your name is going to be written in that book of life of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, slain from the foundation of the world for all of eternity, dear listener? Do you have that assurance? Verse 17, "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." So your Jesus even says to this soul, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And the reason he said that, of course, is because being God himself and knowing what was in this sinner's heart, he knew that this sinner was not really persuaded that he was as that good master, God manifest in the flesh. So Jesus says, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Verse 18, "He saith unto him, Which? Do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." On this note, dear listener, let me also remind you to pray for this professing believer, Christian, and her pro-life organization or pro-life group as they're going through their share of battles back there in the United States of America. Because when we think of "thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder," again, abortion is murder. God hates the hands of them that shed innocent blood. The end of the chapter, verse 30, Matthew 19. "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now, dear listener, do you know why, again, Jesus responded to him like that and actually said, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me"? Perhaps you're thinking right now, I wouldn't want to have to sell all that I have. I wouldn't want to have to give to the poor. I wouldn't want to have to do all that, not even to have treasure in heaven. No, not even to follow the Savior. What are you willing to forsake for him? The reason why he said that is because he, being perfect, as the Son of God, as God manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, when he left his glory behind up in heaven, he, as it were, gave up all he had to give to you and I as the poor spiritually. Hence, in Paul's one epistle to the church at Corinth, he writes about how Jesus Christ, he himself, in his poverty, became poor, that we might be made rich through his poverty. And ultimately, Jesus, he did the very thing by coming down here, as God manifest in the flesh, that he told this sinner to do if he would be perfect. Oh, but of course, being the sinner that this soul was that Jesus spoke to in the context here, do you think he was interested in doing that? Doing as the very Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, had done himself? He wasn't any more interested than you or I would have been by nature as a sinner, dear listener. Again, what are you willing to forsake? What am I willing to forsake for the Savior? When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus, in another context, exhorted his listeners, beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. And of course, that last, probably one of the last Ten Commandments there, thou shalt not covet. thou shalt not covet. It goes right down through thy neighbor's possessions. God says in another context, covetousness is as the sin of idolatry, and all idolaters shall bear part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Have you ever truly seen yourself sorry for your sins because of what your sin did to Jesus Christ on the cross? And you yourself a hellbound sinner worthy of that very damnation that comes on all the wicked? Have you ever seen yourself like that, dear listener? By the grace of God, I came to see myself like that in March of 1995. And I came to also be sorry for what my sin did to the Savior. Have you ever truly been sorry for what your sin did to the Savior? What are you willing to forsake for him? Jesus goes on, verse 23, down through verse 30 of Matthew 19. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Again, trust not in your earthly riches, dear listener. Take no comfort in those. Because ultimately, the day you die, the day I die, we're not taking them with us. Trust in the Lord. He's your provider. He's my provider. Verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. My dear listener, when I talk about purchasing what precious metals, I purchased in the context that I purchased them. Like Dave Hodges himself and others talk about doing. I know for me personally, it's not because I trust in those things. I'm just using wisdom as God gives me wisdom, and I'm just trying to lay something up for the days ahead. It's just called being wise. But do I put my faith in those things? No, I do not. No, I do not. And I don't let it control and manipulate me either. And don't you let such things control and manipulate you. For again, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And we're not supposed to be trusting in our earthly riches, but we're supposed to be trusting in the very God himself who grants us such riches as he sees fit. And ultimately, alone grants those riches in heaven, that treasure in heaven. Verse 25 down to verse 30 of Matthew 19. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Let me read verse 29 one more time, Matthew 19. Please, listen good. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, I know I've asked some of you in the past, and I'll ask you again to continue praying that God blesses me with my helpmeet as he sees fit, my bride, my wife. Now, as I've also told you in the past, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, I just turned 43 years old this year, April 28th, and I have never had sexual relations in my life. I am what you call a virgin. What are you willing to forsake for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the triune God of heaven and earth, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, as he was manifested himself in the Son, as Emmanuel, God with us? What are you willing to forsake for him, dear listener? Okay, Kenny, next clip, please.
The problem is that our current immigration standards were designed for that kind of economy. And so the truth is we just don't have a lot of low-skilled jobs left. No manufacturing jobs of that kind, basically, but very some ag jobs, but those are going, their automation's totally transformed agriculture, as you probably know. And looking forward, you can see we're going to have even fewer because of automation, robots. If you haven't gone on the internet to see the video that came out yesterday, a house was built with a 3D printer in 24 hours, you should see it. By the way, if you know anyone in the construction trades, they should be really worried. There are lots of things that are going to become automated in the next 10 years. And so the question becomes, what do people do for a living? Now, you guys are set because there's never not going to be a need for firemen, period, okay? But if you're a truck driver, truck driving is the single most common job for high school educated men in America. Number one, self-driving cars are an obsession of people in Washington because they're so cool. They're awesome. They're just so great. How neat is that? And by the way, traffic safety will improve dramatically. Not one person I have ever heard in D.C. has raised the obvious question, which is, why are we doing this? We're doing it to save on labor costs. What will be the effect? To put out of work 8 million people, like, in a day. And what are those people going to do next? Write software? Probably not. What are they going to do for a living? It's a social disaster looming on the horizon that nobody here wants to deal with or cares about. And by the way, at the same time, the Obama administration set aside almost $500 million to fund, and I think it's still going on. Some people haven't stopped it, to fund the development of self-driving cars. Really? So the U.S. government is actively working to put you out of work. Is you on disability or something? The whole thing is horrible. So the question, the key question for this administration, for any administration, is what do people do? Because work isn't just a way to get a paycheck. It confers dignity. You're proud of yourself when you work. I mean, I don't need to tell you, you do something that everyone loves, and, you know, it's great. And wherever you go, people are like, oh, I can't believe this. Well, you're a firefighter. That's incredible. That's got to be a huge part of your lives. Why wouldn't it be? People need that. Men especially. Men go crazy if they don't have that. They do. Have you seen it? Yeah. They're horrible when they don't have that. And so if you have a whole country of men without that, you have major social problems. And so I just think, look, I'm, as I've said 9 times, and I mean it, I'm totally for immigration, but we shouldn't import a single new person, especially at the low end, until we figure out what they're going to do. It's not, and in my neighborhood, nobody gets that because they just love having cheap servants. I'm just being honest. It's totally true. And they're like, oh, immigration, it's all upside. You know, interesting ethnic festivals, and I never have to change my sheets, and, like, it's just great. They pay their household help literally less than your kid makes for a summer job, and yet they feel like they're all virtual. Like, I'm a good person because I, you know my housekeeper's last name. And the reason would be you don't want to displace 8 million people without a contingency plan for what they're going to do next. But that's why I'm not in charge, because that's insane, I guess. But it's not insane. It's true. People don't understand the degree to which there is a real ideological gap between the Republican leadership, especially in the House, and the White House. They just don't agree with each other at all. They really don't. And I would argue that Trump is way more in the mainstream than the Republican leadership is. Way more. I'm not even arguing. I know it because you poll his issues. You poll any of Trump's issues, by the way, even the ones that, like, MSNBC is all upset about. Pull up the Gallup poll on that question. No matter how divisive it is or controversial, I think it's the cable news term we use, controversial. Those meaningless words makes you want to puke, but whatever. Those issues, every one of them that I'm aware of is over 50% support. Trump himself scares the hell out of people, but his ideas are mainstream. The Republican leadership is exactly the opposite. They're kind of reassuring and this is your captain speaking kind of attitudes. But their economic program is not popular at all, but they really believe it. So there is a coming clash between the White House and the Republicans on the Hill, and I'm not sure Trump's going to win. I think he should win, because I think the guy who represents the most Americans should win.
Okay. And on that note, I would now read St. Matthew, chapter 10. Starting in verse 22, Matthew 10, starting in verse 22, down through 39. Ye shall be hated, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have him here speaking, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Beelzebub, another term for Satan, the devil himself, Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. Lord, lowercase L. Verse 26, Jesus goes on. You want to know who you're supposed to fear? Jesus tells you, fear not. Fear them not, therefore, he says. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 20, Matthew 10. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You can rest assured, the living God, he is not, as some deist would portray him, some so-called deists are known, he's not some God who just sits up there in heaven and doesn't take any interest in his creation. No. Jesus himself says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, verse 34, listen, and listen carefully. Has there been any variance, any tumultuous situations, contentious situations between you and loved ones lately? Jesus says in verse 34 and 35, it is written, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And that sword he's talking about there, dear listener, is the very sword of his mouth, the sword of the Spirit, the very word of the living God. A man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36, and a man's foes, another word for enemies, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now, listen to this, especially here now. Who, what are you willing to forsake for the Savior? Jesus goes on. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Tell me, are you worthy of the Savior? Who do you love more? Do you love him or do you love your father and mother more? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Have you made an idol out of your own children? Beware, because if you make an idol out of your own children, that can come back, not just to bite you, so to speak, but to also bite them. God is a jealous God. Don't make an idol, not even out of your own children, lest you provoke the Holy One to jealousy, and he give your child over to the devil himself. Flee all idolatry. Flee all idolatry. Jesus goes on, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. By nature are, again, self-willed, self-centered, self-righteous. They think only about themselves. Such self-will wants nothing to do with the Savior, let alone taking up his cross and suffering for his name's sake and following him. No, self-will, sinful man wants nothing to do with that. But then again, sinful self-man, selfish as he is, his self-will, self-centered as he is, he's never been worthy, and he never will be worthy of the Son of the living God. And again, that's why you and I need mercy. We need grace. Mercy, God not giving us what we deserve. Grace, God giving us what we don't deserve. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Who, what are you willing to forsake for the Savior? The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. The triune God of heaven and earth, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jehovah God. Who, what are you willing to forsake for him? Verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. Verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Who? What are you willing to forsake for the Savior? Okay, Kenny, go ahead with the next.
And I do believe this is the last one, Tim, so here we go.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, and I do mean breaking news. This is very, very serious. We're reporting to you about an event that happened in L.A. How ironic. And it involves Bobby Kennedy Jr. But we saw this before with Bobby Kennedy Sr. Stay tuned. We're going to tell you all about it. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. Noble Gold can protect you from what's coming, and what's coming is absolute, absolute, absolute financial catastrophe. You get your retirement in the bank, it'll be gone soon. Under Dodd-Frank, they can do it. The circumstances dictate that they will. The same thing can happen to your bank account. Now, we know you need to leave, well, some money in the bank. You have to have operating capital to function in society. But you need to get the bulk away, and Noble Gold can help you with that, particularly with your retirement. So let me just say this and say it very, very clearly. Act now, save your nest egg. Wait and become a 1929-style type of victim. I can send you a free information packet from Noble Gold. You can simply go to DaveHodgesGold.com. No obligation, no pressure, no one's going to bug you. But there'll be a number on there for you to call, and I recommend you read it over and call quickly. 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. The federal government makes me give you this FTC disclaimer. Investments are inherently risky and there's no guarantees. We agree with that warning. However, I would also say that the biggest risk that you should be warned about is leaving your money in the bank, all your money. Big mistake. Anyway, please heed my warning. 877-646-5347. Well, it's deja vu all over again, according to Yogi Berra. I look at this crap that's gone on, and I'll start the story off by saying this. On several occasions, RFK Jr.'s people have requested from Mayorkas, Homeland Security Advisor, Secretary. He has said no to RFK Jr.'s request. And what was the request? Security detail from the Secret Service to protect a presidential candidate. And he said, no, he doesn't qualify. Whoa, wait a minute. His approval numbers are higher than Biden. They're higher. He's the only legitimate alternative to Biden at this point, assuming Biden gets to the finish line, assuming we have an election. He's the only one. And to add insult to injury, we're looking at a situation where RFK Jr.'s request is the only one ever denied by the federal government for a presidential candidate seeking protection from the Secret Service. But you think that would put egg on the face of Mayorkas? No. He didn't qualify. I don't care. He's not getting it. This is what Hillary did to Ambassador Stevens when he requested a platoon of Marines protect him before he went to Benghazi. Instead, he was assigned four private security agents that couldn't protect him. Tried. They did it bravely, but they were outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned. 1968. Bobby Kennedy Jr., or Bobby Kennedy Sr. would have been, he this is so upsetting to even talk about. Bobby Kennedy was going to reopen the investigation into his brother's death. He was going to stop Vietnam. He was going to limit the arms race with Russia, work with Khrushchev. Guess what? Can't have that. But he's not going to win. At the time, the voting age was 21. They said, all the people that vote for Robert Kennedy, they're too young to vote. Don't worry about them. And he wins the California primary, the biggest one in the country. Well, they were ready for him. He makes his acceptance speech. turns around, walks into the back area through the kitchen, and there he's assassinated. Oh, and let's not forget, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s uncle was assassinated too. He too was opposed to Vietnam, among other things. So his uncle and his dad were assassinated. And he's a major candidate. And Mayorkas, on behalf of Biden, don't see fit to protect him. Okay, let's get down to the event. Now we've laid the background, you're going to find this to be absolutely outrageous. Even if you don't support RFK, I like some things he says. I would never vote for him because of his gun beliefs, his Second Amendment stance. No, I would never vote for him because of that. But he does deserve presidential protection. Yesterday, and the mainstream media will not do much with this. ABC has made its report. They're done. They'll move on. And this is from an ABC report. Bobby Kennedy is attending a Hispanic Heritage Appreciation event. And a man with a shoulder holster gun and an identity badge of a U.S. Marshal infiltrates Kennedy's protection team and attempts to blend in like he's one of them. And he's armed. He was recognized for not being one of them, and he was promptly detained. The authorities came. They arrested him. He's only going to be hit with a gun charge. Do you find that odd? So do I. Smacks of Vegas 2017. But there's more. There's more. Oh, you're not going to believe this. The investigation of what appears to be an attempted assassination intent to assassinate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is ignored by the FBI and the Secret Service. And the LAPD will remain the lead agency handling the case. This is a presidential candidate. This falls under presidential candidate protection rules that came into effect after Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated. They're violating the law. But let's let the LAPD do it, because the minute the FBI and the Secret Service says, yeah, there's a problem here with this guy, he was pretending to be a Fed, he was armed and penetrated the security detail of Robert F. Kennedy, then they got to provide him protection. So no, let's keep in the hands of the LAPD, we keep our distance, and we leave this man vulnerable to future assassination attempts. This is outrageous conduct. It speaks for what it is. It speaks for what this administration is. And yet, folks, I can bring the problems to the public. We can all identify what's going on. But as the old saying goes, just like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, we can lead the public to facts, but we can't make them think. But we got to try. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you are a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
I apologize there, dear listener. That did break up some. But basically what Dave said there towards the end, in case you could not hear it or understand it on your end, was he mentioned about how they say you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make them drink. And how true. It is. How true it is. And I guarantee you, what he was talking about in there, in that clip, was not something that Satan and his devils and those Jesuits of Rome want getting out, because anytime you hear about any of these leaders getting assassinated, you can rest assured Roman Catholic Jesuit order has a hand in it. If you've ever seen a copy of their covenant and their oath, they even talk. Their own oath, they actually take Hebrews 9:22, and this is what the Word of God talks about when it talks about them twisting the scriptures to their own destruction. They even take Hebrews 9:22 that says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin." Remission meaning forgiveness. They take that verse and they actually twist it, and they actually try to say, in their own covenant notes, they apply it in such a way as to imply that there is no forgiveness for them unless they're willing to shed the blood. It goes against the temporal power of the papacy. That mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, that city that reigns over the kings of the earth. Okay, Kenny, on that note, if you would go ahead with what we have next, which I think is our midway song.
Tim, did you say something to me?
Yeah, I said. You can go ahead now with our midway song. That's what we have next, I think.
Okay, we're ready.
Now, dear listener, I just want to remind you to continue in your own personal studies in preparation for a future edition of The Word of the King. Something that I mentioned last week, 11. When we read in verse 7 of Zechariah 11, "And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called Beauty, and the other I called Bands, and I fed the flock. Now, you read there in the context, you jump down, verse 10, and I took my staff, even Beauty, and I cut it asunder that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And as I mentioned last week in the context of exhorting you to do this study of your own, we know that God is not a covenant God. So what's he talking about here when he says that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people? And also, when he refers to the two staves, why does he call the one staff Beauty, and why does he call the other staff Bands, plural? He calls the one Beauty, capital B, and he calls the other one, capital B, Bands, plural. Why does he call them that? When you compare spiritual with spiritual, like God says, the answer is there. Now, it's not as difficult to understand why he calls the one Beauty, but the one that he calls Bands, do your study on that. Why does he call the one Beauty, capital B, and the other staff Bands, capital B, and why, or what is he talking about, when he says in verse 10 of Zechariah 11, I might break my covenant, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. Again, he's not a covenant-breaking God, so what's he talking about there? And God willing, we'll get into that here soon, one of these editions of the Word of the King. And also, one other encourage you to meditate upon in your own studies. When we read in Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 1, down through verse 8, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, fear shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I'll also go ahead and include verse 9 of Genesis 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and by God's grace, a future edition of the Word of the King, his will permitting. When it says in verse 2 that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. In verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. The sons of God, in those verses, in that context of Genesis 6, are they talking about fallen angels, devils, or are they talking what is known as the godly line of Seth? Again, the sons of God in Genesis 6, as we read of them in verses 2 and 4, are those sons of God referring to the godly line of Seth, or are those sons of God referring to fallen angels, also known as devils? As I myself was taught, and I'm sure any number of you, God knows how many, listening, were also taught. Now, on that note, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 as we consider the life of faith, and as we consider this whole matter of who, what are you willing to forsake for the Savior? Who is the Messiah of Israel? Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, fullness of the Godhead, bodily. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, fullness of the Godhead, bodily. That Jehovah God manifest in the flesh. Starting in verse 1. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead yet speaketh, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God translated him. So before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, let me just say this real quickly about Enoch. Now, Enoch, in the context of his translation, the context that he was translated, as we read of it in Scripture, not just in Genesis, but also here in Genesis, in Hebrews chapter 11 as well, verse 5, our translation as believers at the rapture of the church, especially those of us who are still going to be alive at that time, which God will have his remnant alive at that time. And even if you hold to a post-trib pre-rap position, you still, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, would need to believe that God is going to have his remnant alive at that time still, that will not have died off yet after the flesh. Ultimately, the reason why Enoch was translated, there's another reason why Enoch was translated in that context, as we read about him pleasing God. And it goes hand in hand also with the question that I posed a moment ago concerning Genesis chapter 6 and those sons of God there in Genesis 6. I'll just throw that out as a little bit of a hint there, and I'll leave it with you. As you compare spiritual with spiritual in your own studies with the Lord, in your own time with him, and you ask him to show you. Because again, dear listener, I was taught things recently from the Lord about all this. More. And it wasn't that I did not hear things before, but it's like this. When you just get things from man, it doesn't stick with you. It can be true. It can be true what they're saying. But if you just get it from them, and you don't get it from God, you see, when you get something from God, it becomes your understanding, it becomes your conviction, for it sticks with you. And here recently, I got some more understanding on that very matter of the sons of God there in Genesis 6, and I got it straight from the Lord, and therefore, it's sticking with me this time. And once you get it from the Lord yourself, it'll also stick with you. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We read about Noah just a moment ago. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10 of Hebrews 11. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Dear listener, are you looking for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God? Have you set your affection on things which are above and not things which are beneath here on earth? And let me just also say, in light of this, that ultimately, the answer to that question that I posed a moment ago about the sons of God, in Genesis 6, and whether that had any reference to the godly line of Seth, or if it was referring to fallen angels. The whole Abrahamic, as well as the Davidic covenants, and new covenant ultimately, the very covenants of Scripture, ultimately play into that question as well, and the answer to that. Just one more hint for you. Verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things plainly declare plainly that they seek a country. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Hebrews 11, verse 14. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that isn't heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And let me just interject again here and say, who, what are you willing to lay on the altar of sacrifice for the Savior? Who, what are you willing to forsake for the Savior, Lord, heaven and earth? Now, I'm confident that as he sees fit. He'll still bless me with my help meet. He'll still bless me with my bride. But if I didn't already sincerely place my desire for a wife on the altar of sacrifice before, I did it within the past week. God knows he was my witness as he put it all more in me to do just that. Who, what are you willing to forsake for the Savior and put on the altar of sacrifice, dear listener? Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and from whence also he received him in a figure. And that figure itself, a very picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I may mention the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25. What are you willing to forsake? What are you willing to give up? For the God of Israel, the God of Moses, the Lord of heaven and earth, he came down in the person of Emmanuel, God with us. Are you willing to forsake the pleasures of sin for a season with that godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of? Be you sorry for what your sin did to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and not just what your sin does to you as a hell-bound, hell-worthy sinner? Because God knows that's exactly what we all are by nature. This one included, saved by the grace of God. Verse 27, continuing on, Moses, treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. But verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he forsook Egypt. Are you willing to forsake Egypt? Are you willing to forsake the pleasures of sin, of the world, the flesh, the devil, for the God of Moses, the one true God of heaven and earth? Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And unless God sees the blood of his Son, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on you this day, the day you die, you, the wages of your sin, which is death, hell, and a lake, a fire for all of eternity. And dear Jewish soul, for any of you listening, again, another Yom Kippur is almost here. Let this day, by God's grace, I pray this day be your day of atonement. Call upon Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and live. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. Come to God by any means other than the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can assure you that you will, as the Egyptians, be drowned in the wages of your sin and the wrath of God, as a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed about 7 days, those walls, they fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, those walls of Jericho came down, dear listener. And the strongholds of sin and death will come down in your life. And how will they come down? By faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, but when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, the harlot Rahab that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant, fight the armies of the aliens. Verse 34 of Hebrews 11 again, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant, in fight turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. What are you willing to forsake? What are you willing to suffer for the God of Moses, the Lord of heaven and earth, came down as Emmanuel, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about, sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And don't forget to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering at the hands of the enemies of the gospel even now throughout the world. For example, in these mostly Islamic countries under Sharia law, etc. And again, don't take your liberties for granted. I don't care where you are, and that includes the United States of America. Do not take your liberties for granted. And as we wind down here in this edition of the Word of the King, 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with race, with patience, the race that is set before us. Verse 1 of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the grace of God assisting us, dear listener, the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, before him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The author and finisher of our faith, we ourselves being, dear listener, that possession, that prize whereby he was going to purchase us by the very blood of God as his treasure, as his treasure, as his bride. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What are you willing to endure? What are you willing to forsake for the God of Moses, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to run with patience by the grace of God, the race that is set before us, before you? Verse 3, Hebrews 12, for consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Dear listener, there's one reason why I keep going on by the grace of God and I do not faint. And there's one reason why you and anybody else continue going on by the grace of God and not faint. That's because you consider him daily. You endure such contradiction of sinners against himself, making melody in your heart to him, giving thanks to him always through what this world would call good times and bad times. And until next time, you be faithful, stay close to him. And I will now give it over to Kenny to go on with our invitation song. And again, dear listener, if you have yet to do so, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance toward God through faith in him alone, and thou shalt be saved from the wrath to come. And you will have a new heart, and you will have the will and the desire to go forth and run with patience by the grace of God, that race that is set before us, that is set before you. Time, God bless you and yours. You have the invitation song, Kenny?
Say again, Tim. Hold on. You caught me when I was in the bathroom, Tim.
All right.
Oh, Tim, speaking of your one question about the sons of God, could I weigh in on that real quick here?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I believe the answer is found to that question in Job chapter 1.
Okay, and dear listener, you heard what Kenny said, and ultimately in terms of doing your own study and comparing spiritual with spiritual, you should take Job 1 into consideration. However, you need to seek God, all right, and we'll, according to God's will, We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Because I, you know, because it very clearly says the sons of God there.
I know.
Along with chapter,
and there are those who admit, and there are those who would admit to you. There were those. There are those who would admit to you that, that angels in the scriptures are referred to as sons, lowercase s, of God. Now, let me ask you a question, Kenny. Why do you believe angels are referred to as sons, lowercase s, of God? Because after all, we know that angels were not created in the image of God, as man was ultimately created in the image of God. So why are they called, you believe according to Scripture, why are they called sons of God, lowercase s?
Well, that part I never actually studied out. That part I'd love to have an answer to, okay? But as far as the...
Okay.
I'm just saying is when you compare spiritual with spiritual, okay, like you were saying, okay, in Job chapter 1, it talks about, obviously, these were specifically the specific sons of God there, okay? It says they were with Satan, okay? And so we know these were the fallen angels, and we know that the sons of God mentioned in Genesis chapter 6 that had this relationship with the daughters of men, it was an unholy union. So by comparing spiritual with spiritual, I'm just going by comparing spiritual with spiritual. That's what I'm putting the two and two together. See, I also, as you mentioned, yes, I understand
that. Well, here's the thing, Kenny. Here's the thing, though. You can't just compare those two texts. You got to compare spiritual to spiritual in light of all Scripture. And when you compare spiritual to spiritual in light of all Scripture, just because that's talking about angels in Job chapter 1 does not mean it's talking about fallen angels in the context of Genesis 6. And people who think it is, I'll tell you, are deceived. Because I even asked the Lord to give me some clear understanding on that recently in light of a particular topic that I've mentioned before in the program and how there's actually anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish connected with this these particular teachings. This one in particular that I had already mentioned once before in the context known as the serpent seed doctrine, whereby there's this Steven Anderson guy today who's actually teaching that all the Jewish people are the physical seed of Satan and the product of basically Satan having sexual relations with their mother. And dear listener, if you're thinking that's a little absurd and a little crazy, that's because it is. It's a false, damnable teaching. Salvation
well, that
is of
part,
the Jews.
Yeah, that part I agree with is absurd.
Salvation is of the Jews. There's no such thing as any Jews being the physical seed of Satan any more than there is the possibility of salvation being of the physical seed of Satan. You might as well just say salvation is of the beast if you're going to say that. No, salvation is of the Jews. There's no such thing as the physical seed of Satan. That is a totally Kabbalistic, Antichrist, Babylonian, pagan concept. Now, Kenny, if, just so you know, okay, we're ready for the invitation song whenever you're ready.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll just go ahead and do that now, and we'll save that discussion and hear out what you have on a different day. Okay.
Well, do your own study, dear listener, Kenny, and you included. Do your own study. Don't wait for that. Do your own study and see what you get from God first. But I will tell you right now, it's not talking about fallen angels, devils in that context. It's not.
Okay, like I said, bub, let's get into this song, okay? Like I said, that gives me time to do that
okay.
And then wait to hear what you got to say so I could put the two together and see what we'll come up with. Okay.
Amen. Lord, thou hast here thy name be and I. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this sheep of mine has wandered far from me. And although the hill may be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep.
Am I still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. And actually, brother,
amen.
Before you close, if you were going, hey brother, before you close, can I mention something else real quick?
Uh huh. Go ahead.
Dear listener, I wanted to also encourage you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I have been taught, dear listener, and I'm guessing you yourself, pretty much most of you listening, have been taught the same thing. And even depending on what commentaries you've read, for the most part, especially the commentaries written within the last 100 years or so, probably read that the cloud of witnesses there in Hebrews 12:1 is referring to saints up in heaven. Fact is, the Lord himself showed me this within the last week as well. That is not referring to saints up in heaven. The idea is that's talking about saints up in heaven is a very Roman
no,
Catholic.
That's
Antichrist.
No.
Interpretation of Scripture.
No, that's cloud of witnesses here on earth. That's talking about the people around you.
Actually, Kenny, I wouldn't even say it's talking about, well, you can say it is talking about persons around you. The key word is cloud, singular, plural, and also compassed about. Compassed about. Those are the key words there in that verse. But it's not talking about saints up in heaven, which that's what I've been taught, Kenny. I've been taught already. That's all about saints up in heaven. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but that's what I've been taught already. But no, it's not talking about people around us either in the sense that you're talking. No, it is talking about persons around us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, read the context. Just read the context. And if you don't see it, it's because you're not reading the context, and the reason you're not seeing the connection there is the same reason why some don't see the connection between the latter part of Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. But there's another hint for another little study that maybe you want to do, dear listener, in your own time and your own communion with the Lord. And now, Kenny, if you got anything you wanted to say, I want to conclude with, closing word of prayer, you can do so now.
No, I'll just close with a word of prayer, but as soon as we're done, Tim, please give me a jingle. I just wanted to let you know a few things and then just talk to you real quick, so please give me a jingle after the show here. Okay. Well, I will give you a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the message. We thank you for also the clips that were shared. They were pretty good, and I appreciated those as well because they were very informative. And, Lord, we ask you that Tim would be able to continue to share clips like that. I think even one of the clips had a little bit concerning the issue that Jerry was mentioning, the issue. So I think that possibly he might be getting into that issue eventually. So we ask you, Lord, that you would help, I think it's Dave Hodges, get into that issue eventually about the children that came up missing with the school buses in Maui, Lord Jesus, what that situation would be, and also maybe some sort of investigation about this lab that was in California with the mice or whatever it was that Jerry mentioned to us. We ask, Lord, that you just open that up, because that'd be interesting to find out what that stuff was about. So, Lord, we thank you. At least there was a little light shed on that, just a little bit. So we ask, Lord, that you would just touch that now, especially that situation over there. Touch the people that were involved and the families and lives that were touched, those that were harmed, Lord Jesus, and especially those who have lost somebody. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for those who went home, Lord Jesus, if they didn't know you, Lord, of course, the families are suffering a tremendous loss. Help them, Lord Jesus, to now know this as a chance for them to remember their own eternity, and help them to understand they could come to you. And for those who lost someone who did go to be with you, Lord Jesus, help them to be comforted in knowing that, Lord Jesus, but at the same time knowing this as a reminder to get out there and win others. So, Lord Jesus, help this show also be effective in that manner as well. Now we ask, Lord Jesus, that you touch the whole Six Eyes Radio Network. Help us to do just the thing that we're asking, and that is to outreach to lost souls. In Jesus' name, amen. And with that, we're going to say God bless, good evening. We'll catch you tonight on the station 1-424-243-9617 for the truth of the matter with Dr. Doug Quick. Amen.